and the critical faculty. The critical faculty is the thing that gives them the ability to know the difference between what's real and what's not real. You know, children that play and they have the imaginary friends? You know, like my niece Brittany, who's actually here in town. She has I don't know if she still has them. She's six now. But I remember when she was 4 and 5 years old, she had two imaginary friends, Lala and Cuckoo. She had two friends that nobody else saw. So, and when I'd ask her, I'd be at the dinner table, and I'd say, are Lala and Cuckoo here? And she said, yep, they're right there. And she's right on it. They're as real as anything else in the room, right? She has no critical faculty. She doesn't have the ability to look at something and say, well, she may have the ability, but she doesn't have the need to look at something and say that's real versus not real, or there versus what everybody sees versus what only I see, whatever you want to call it, right? So she looks at something like I had no critical faculty when I was a child. I was living right here in Redondo Beach, and my father used to have a pachinko ball machine. I don't know if you've ever seen those. Those are the upright stand-up pinball machines. And the pachinko balls are little steel balls about that big. I had no critical faculty. I told my mom I was playing with my imaginary friends, Donald and Mickey, and I said, and we wanted some macaroni and cheese. And she said, well, you just ate lunch. She said, "Why? If you got imaginary friends, why don't you eat imaginary food? So I took a bowl of pachinko balls and just started eating them. Right? Oh, yeah. Did you do that too? Oh, no, it wasn't just Donald and Mickey. I was eating them, right? I had no critical faculty. There was no difference between imagine and pretend with me, right? I had no critical faculty. Nobody knew that I had eaten them until I bounced around. I was jumping up and down on the couch, and I was rattling, and they're like, is that boy rattling? So I was always just so getting into stuff, you know? But I had no critical faculty. You know, I had no critical faculty. I was pure unconscious mind then. I mean, I could imagine and pretend it was real. Now, that's the place we want people to get with hypnosis. So if you get them to the place where they're trying to open their eyes yet finding that they can't, yet we all know we could open our eyes, what we're doing is we're just pulling the critical faculty out. So in hypnosis, a lot of people, so here's the waking state, by the way. This is the waking state. And here's the trance state. This is the trance state. The conscious mind is still present. The conscious mind doesn't go anywhere. That's why people say, well, I can still hear what you're saying consciously. Yeah, you can. Your conscious mind's still there, right? It's just that your critical faculty's gone. We've gotten rid of the critical faculty. So if I could put hypnosis in a nutshell, I'd say it's imagine and pretend. Hypnosis is imagine and pretend. That's all it really is. So when they say imagine yourself on a beach, you're just imagining yourself on a beach. By the way, if you're imagining and pretending, what's that leading? You're creating your future, and you're yes, creating images, sounds, feelings. You're leading the internal representations. So hypnosis is imagine and pretend. So all you do is you put them in a relaxed state, you get rid of the critical faculty, and this way the suggestions go right inside to the unconscious mind, right inside to that little sponge. It's almost like revisiting the imprint period. So things make a much, much deeper impression. Because you don't have to work with the conscious mind. You bypass the conscious mind. Or you don't have to work with the critical faculty at least. So you're pulling the critical faculty out. The reason, you know, like when we're doing NLP, we're discussing issues with people and we're working our way around issues and we're helping to work with that problem by communicating, and we have to go left or go right or be flexible in terms of our communication. When we're working with trance, we're just going straight in. Our suggestions are going straight into the unconscious mind, into that fertile ground. In impregnating the unconscious mind, one could think, right? Gary talked about your conscious mind is constantly impregnating your unconscious mind with your every thought. What we're doing is we're impregnating it with something new. Yeah, and it all goes right into the sponge. What happens to the conscious mind? What's it doing? Conscious mind is there. It could choose to listen or it could choose not to, and sometimes it does. So sometimes the conscious mind chooses to listen to what's happening, or sometimes the conscious mind chooses not to. We're just getting rid of the critical faculty. This is the waking state. Now, in the waking state, you get the critical faculty, and some things will come in, some things won't. This is like where people read a book, like an empowering book or something, and they're like, yeah, and they see some empowering statements, and maybe they're reading a book, and the book says, you are one with everything, you are, you know, everybody in the world is interconnected, you are the universe is you, and people are going, hey, yeah, that's a nice concept. Intellectually, I get it, but I don't know it, because I don't live it. You know, that's why That's why it's so important to get rid of that critical faculty and re-impregnate the unconscious mind or send those things right back into the sponge so the sponge knows it, so it becomes part of who you are. That's why also we do inductive learning, right? When we do inductive learning, when we tell somebody a metaphor or something like that, and they come to it in an inductive way, they own the learnings because that's part of them. It's that they got it. It was like, boom, that profound revelation that changed their life instead of somebody telling them one more time, hey, do this or do that. Yeah. So what hypnosis does is it makes it part of them rather than just some intellectual stuff that's coming in here and toggling around in the conscious mind. So we're just getting rid of that critical faculty, so we go straight in and repattern the unconscious mind. So when we can get somebody to that place of imagine and pretend, where you say, try to open your eyes and find that you can't, when we can get them in that paradoxical state of imagine and pretend, what happens is we've removed the critical faculty, that because we've got them imagining and pretending. We've got them back in that state of being a child, that childlike state where everything goes right into the sponge. So that's why we spend so much time on having clear internal representations, knowing what are the internal representations you're creating with your language and so on and so forth.